Good morning. Our sermon text this morning is from Genesis chapter 14, the whole chapter. So if you have your Bibles or your bulletin, please open there. Genesis chapter 14, the sermon title is Our Shelter and Shield. Our Shelter and Shield. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. And as it goes forth this morning, continues to go forth, I pray that you would be present, working through me as I preach this sermon. I pray that your spirit would illuminate your holy word so that the people of God may be blessed by your truth. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen. It is a dangerous thing to seek shelter in the wrong place. You're much more vulnerable if you place your trust foolishly in things that just shouldn't be trusted. I know all of us can probably think of times in our lives where we sought shelter where we shouldn't have. For me, it was my high school and early college experience. I was constantly seeking shelter in the wrong places, in various groups of people. I tried sports. I tried the cool kids. I tried to find shelter in romantic relationships. Things got really bad when I tried to find a home in the party groups. And during my early recovery days in rehab, I sought shelter in the rooms of places like Narcotics Anonymous. But everywhere I looked, I got swept up in worldly troubles like Lot. Like Lot. I placed my faith in all the wrong places. I sought blessing from all the wrong sources. So where was I finally able to find shelter and protection from the world? In God, who placed me in a community, a fellowship of believers, which is God's aid in the midst of trouble, God's aid in the midst of a chaotic world. And when I found this community, or better said, when God, through this community, found me and rescued me, God granted faith, knowing that this community ultimately cannot be harmed by the world's attacks, because God is faithful to His covenant people. True blessing does not come from the world. God is our shelter. God is our shield, and we, brothers and sisters, in Him can never be shaken. So our big idea this morning, thesis this morning, is this, that since God is faithful to us, His covenant people, we must have faith that He alone is our shelter and shield. As we begin, let's draw our attention into the first 12 verses of this kind of long passage, and where we see that since finding protection from man leads to captivity, we must find shelter in God, who is faithful. Now, you may remember in chapter 13 of the book of Genesis that Lot has moved away from Abram. He moved as far as Sodom, separating from Abram, who at the end of chapter 13 came to dwell at the oaks of Mamre in Hebron. And the very next thing we learn in the sacred history is that the result, in chapter 14, our text, the result of Lot's foolish decision to move to Sodom. What we have here is framed by what just happened, him moving away from Abram in chapter 13. Now, it's also vitally important for this passage to understand something about ancient Near Eastern covenants. We call these suzerain treaties. It's just a fancy term, but it's not very complicated. The suzerain was a great king. He was a great king of a large area that would often take over a place of a lesser king, who we would call a vassal. A lesser king meaning a king over a smaller area. And basically, the suzerain would come in and say, hey, I will protect you from enemy forces, but you have to pay me taxes and things like this. It's somewhat like the mob. So, understanding a bit of how these covenants worked, and the suzerain and the vassal, the suzerain being the big king and the vassal being the little king, will help us understand this a bit of what's going on here. Furthermore, there's lots of kings mentioned in these first 12 verses, and it could be very confusing, at least if it's your first time reading it, so let's break it down quickly. The four kings of verse 1, if you see verse 1, there's four kings. We will call them the eastern kings. They come from the east. eastern kings, Chedorlaomer being their leader, as it says in verse 5, Chedorlaomer and the kings who were with him. So he was the leader of these eastern kings. He was the big guy, the big king. Verse 2, we have the kings who rebelled against the eastern kings. Okay, we will call them the Dead Sea Kings or the Salt Sea Kings. Same place. That makes it easy. Eastern kings, Dead Sea kings. Dead Sea kings are the vassal kings, the lesser kings, who rebelled against Chedorlaomer and the eastern kings. Hopefully that helps frame things for you. So they are the ones that the Dead Sea kings broke covenant. They broke covenant with Chedorlaomer. They rebelled, verse 4. Now the eastern kings then decide to go on this big military campaign. They're headed towards the Dead Sea, and after wiping out a bunch of peoples, as you read, the eastern kings finally battle the Dead Sea kings in the Valley of Sidim, the Dead Sea, or the Salt Sea. They wipe them out. Some are running into tar pits. Some flee for the hills. But in all of this, Lot is kidnapped. Lot is kidnapped. And remember, Lot had a lot of stuff. Lot was a rich man. And so his house would have significantly increased the spoil of war for the eastern kings. And notice the text very purposely points out that Lot is dwelling in Sodom, verse 12. Moses just told us, quote, this is chapter 13, verse 13, the men of Sodom were wicked, great sinners against the Lord. And so you see Lot decided to make his home among the wicked, and he pays the price. He saw that the cities were well-watered, like Egypt. Lot chose to dwell in a place that was like Egypt, a place of enslavement, a place of captivity. And the result of his foolishness is his kidnapping. But it's not only that he dwelled in Sodom, but also because he should have trusted in God's faithfulness, like Abram, rather than in human society, seeking shelter in Sodom. It's so easy then for us, isn't it, to be enticed by what the world has to offer, to place our faith in man rather than in our faithful covenant-keeping God who gives shelter. There was a young man I mentored years ago, named Rodney. He was a foster care kid who found himself over and over again in trouble. And the first time I met with him, he was in jail, Pinellas County Jail, just on the phone with the video. So he was a troubled young man. He was in a house for young troubled men to get them back on their feet after the foster care system, like a transition house. And he was coming to our church after he got out of jail, and he seemed to be going in the right direction. But after a few weeks, he started to drift. He started to drift away. You can even see it in his face when I was leading worship. So we pleaded with him. He said, Rodney, you need Jesus. You need to place your trust in him who provides. Make your home here. May your community be here. You see, he was finding community elsewhere, going back to his old ways. You're going to end up in danger, we said to Rodney. Rodney's heart was already beginning to be taken captive by the world once again. And sadly, one morning, soon after this, I get the call that Rodney was out in the middle of the night acting a fool and ran his motorcycle into a light pole, and he died at age 19. You see, Rodney placed himself outside of God's protection. His heart's desire enticed him and led him to do foolish things, and it cost him his life. In the same way for us, if you aren't plugged into Christ and his people, if you are trusting in human society or the ways of the world, then you're in danger. Do you trust in God who's faithful to his saints or human society to protect you and to provide for you? Is your heart with Christ? You see, if God is our shelter, if God is our shield, then he provides that defense partly through his people, the church. You can break it up in two ways. How is God our shield, our shelter? One, through his glorious protecting and governing of all of our lives as a loving father, which we call providence. And two, through his people, fellow believers. In God and his people, there's help, there's encouragement, there's blessing. And so I ask you this morning, who are you trusting in? Are you trusting in government rather than the Lord? Are you trusting in your 401k rather than the Lord? Do you trust in your skill and your intelligence, or your leadership qualities, your beauty, your own reasoning skills, rather than the Lord? Is your trust in your job and its ability to provide rather than the Lord? Do you trust in your doctor rather than the Lord? You see, these things are good things, but not when we misplace our trust and we take our trust away from the Lord and first and foremost place them in these things, you see. In comparison to our trust with the Lord, everything else in the world should look like we're putting our feet on it. As the old Puritan Thomas Brooks said, he said, a true-bred Christian, I like that, a true-bred Christian will set his feet upon those very things that the men of the world set their hearts. See, we must have faith, brothers and sisters, that God is our shelter and our shield from the world, no matter where we are, no matter where we live. Even if you're like Paul, shipwrecked, apart from God's people. However, don't place yourself outside of God's protection like Lot, foolishly placing your trust in things that should not be trusted. Who can we trust but the Lord? And so we see God is faithful. He is our shelter. He is our shield and protects us from captivity if we place our trust in Him. And so let's draw our attention at verses 13 through 16. As we see now, we will see that God is faithful even to His people when they are taken captive due to their misplaced trust. See, God is a compassionate, gracious God. God rescues His people from captivity, and so we must have that same love for our kinsmen in Christ. So let's look at 13 through 16. We see Abram is told about the dilemma, about Lot, and so he prepares to rescue him. He prepares to rescue Lot, his kinsman. And in this, we must notice the faith of Abram. Not long ago, Abram is frightened by pagan rulers as he was scared of the Egyptians, particularly Pharaoh. Here, what do we see? Abram's planning his own military campaign. See the faith of Abram, don't you? He wisely, knowing he's outnumbered, chooses to attack at night. But we see his faith. You can't look at an enemy so much greater than you and say, yeah, let's do it. Let's go to war, unless you're crazy or you have a God-given faith. We see many examples of this in Scripture. We see David doing a similar thing. Remember in 1 Samuel where David says this in the face of Goliath. He says, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. You see, the heart of faith. And so Abram, in faith, the forefather of the faith, stepped out in faith, battled the enemy, and God gave him the victory. So we see the compassion and the graciousness of God towards Lot and his house. Lot was not wise for dwelling in Sodom, was he? Trusting in human society rather than in God's covenant faithfulness. But Lot was a saint. He was a child of God, and God loved him. The Apostle Peter refers to Lot as righteous Lot. You see, righteous Lot in 2 Peter. And he uses Lot as an example of how God delivers his people from earthly trials when they are trials that are brought about by wicked men. And Peter says this, 2 Peter 2:9. The Lord knows how to rescue the godly from trials and to keep the unrighteous under punishment until the day of judgment. God is a rescuing God who rescues Lot, even though Lot has acted foolishly. Lot was a child of God. So Abram was God's means to save Lot from his trouble. He was showing brotherly love towards Lot. He loved Lot as himself. And God, through faithful believers then, don't we see that God, through the faithful, encourages believers, helps our kinsmen in Christ who are in trouble, doesn't he? Our bodies can be a good illustration of this. Many people suffer from back pain. Almost everyone. Some sort of back pain. Now, if you have very severe back pain, this doesn't apply, but just your regular back pain that most people struggle with, this does. Our low back is a pretty small, weak muscle, and so what should be done, instead of just stretching it all the time, that doesn't really fix the issue, is to strengthen your glutes and your hamstrings and your hips. And that, those more dominant muscles, will help your lower back and lift it up in its weakness. Now, you see, the low back needs the strength of the more dominant muscles. The glutes, hamstrings, and hips will protect your lower back, lift it up in weakness, and the low back will stop compensating for the weak glutes and hamstrings. And so the other muscles lift it up, they aid it, they support the lower back. And in the same way, we all, brothers and sisters, at times of weakness, where our stronger brothers and sisters, stronger in that moment, full of faith, come by our side, they lift us up, they support us in brotherly love. And that's what Abram did here for Lot. Our God is a rescuing God. And so may we have that same heart that God has for our brothers and sisters when they are struggling. Remember the words of Jesus, no love is greater than this, that he lays down his life for his friends. And so I charge you to love your fellow believer like God does. Care for them when you see them being taken captive by the world. Sometimes we don't even care enough to warn each other when we see such a thing. For example, as Paul says in Galatians 6, if your brothers or sisters, if you see them in a transgression, you who are spiritual should go to them in a spirit of gentleness and seek to restore that person. Or in extreme cases, remember the words of James in James chapter 5. He says, my brothers, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone brings him back, let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. Let's love our fellow brothers and sisters like that. And if you are a person here who are currently struggling, trusting the Lord, maybe currently being taken captive by the world, know that the Lord and his people are a shelter and a shield for you. God is a loving Father even when we, his people, suffer due to our foolishness. He's full of compassion. Listen to these marvelous words from Isaiah 57, 17 through 18. Hear these words. This is in the face of Israel's idolatry. God says, because of the iniquity of his unjust gain, I was angry. I struck him. I hid my face and was angry. But he went on backsliding in the way of his own heart. I have seen his ways, but I will heal him. I will lead him and restore comfort to him. You see that? Compassionate God. See, I've seen his backsliding. I've seen his wicked ways, but I will heal him. God is good, and he loves his people even when our suffering is brought about, like Lot, by our own sin, our own foolishness. And so we need not neglect God's shelter. And knowing that God, through his providence, upholds us, we should seek him in prayer, but also he protects us through the assembly of the saints, where we find help and support, encouragement in times of trouble when we're struggling. For the church, we are a kingdom of priests. And what do priests do? In part, they help support one another, the flock of God. For every Christian in here knows that our hearts are prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. We need each other. There's this song I like by a pretty new Christian band called King's Kaleidoscope. King's Kaleidoscope. Maybe not. And the song is called Backwards. The song is called Backwards. It's about backsliding. And he's expressing how sick he is of his own foolishness. And he says this. He says, I shut the book. That's the good book. I shut the book and hit the ground. God, I took the long way down. I cut the hook and kicked the crown. I don't break bread. I just regret instead. You see what he's saying? Don't isolate. Don't go to Sodom. Realize that we need each other. And so we've seen the importance of having faith in our covenant-keeping God who rescues his saints and how the righteous are called to support one another as a kingdom of priests. And now let's draw our attention to the final section in verse 17 through 24, where we see that since blessing comes from God, him alone, we must have true faith in him, for he will give the blessing, not man. And so after all of this, we learn that the king of Sodom, verse 17, the king of Sodom survived. He survived. And he met with Abram. And then the story in verse 18 cuts to the king of Salem. That's Jerusalem. Melchizedek, who blesses Abram and glorifies the Lord for giving him the victory. Now, literarily, this seems to be done to contrast the two kings and to contrast Abram's response to the two kings. The same verb when it says, the ESV translates it this way, in verse 17, Sodom went out, the king of Sodom went out, is the same verb used of Melchizedek. Melchizedek brought out. And so what we see here is the king of Sodom is bringing deception. He goes out bringing deception. And Melchizedek is bringing blessing. So it's contrasting the two kings here. The priest king of Salem is a true priest of God. And Abram accepts his blessing, but not the blessing of the king of Sodom. Why? Because Abram's loyalty is to his suzerain, the Lord God Almighty. And therefore, the Lord's priest, who Abram tithes to in verse 20. So now that the eastern kings are dealt with, they're out of the picture. It leaves a vacuum, so to speak. And so the king of Sodom was seeking to place Abram under him, Abram being his vassal. He wanted Abram as his vassal. The covenant king, the suzerain at that time, would be the one who would distribute or dish out the spoils of war. So that's what he was trying to do to Abram. Abram, take this. See, the king of Sodom was trying to assume the role of suzerain in Abram's life. But in faith, it's as if Abram says, no, the Lord has made me promises. The Lord's going to make me into a great nation. And through the priest of the Most High God, the Lord has blessed me. He who possesses heaven and earth. I'm not coming under your care. I'm not coming under your charge. I am a servant of the Most High God. And furthermore, I didn't do this for the spoils of war. I did this to rescue my vassal Lot, from the hands of wicked men, knowing that my suzerain, the Lord, will rescue me. See, Abram accepts the blessing from his true covenant king and refuses to come under the care of this earthly leader by way of covenant. So Abram's contrasted with Lot as well, you see. Lot did not trust in God's faithfulness in the way that Abram does here. Abram's not going with the king of Sodom in the way that Lot did. And so, also, this is the first time in the Bible, as you're reading through the Bible, the first time you hear the word priest. And who is it? It's Melchizedek, meaning king of righteousness. And he comes out of nowhere. No lineage. We don't know anything about him. Interestingly, the Psalms, as many of you probably know, declare that the Messiah will be a priest after the order of Melchizedek, not Aaron. Psalm 110. And the New Testament, the book of Hebrews, picks this up as we read, and we learn that Jesus is the high priest, our high priest, not after the order of Aaron, but after the order of Melchizedek. And so we see then that all the promises of God are yes and amen in our priest king, the Lord Jesus. God blesses Abram through the mediation of his priest, which points directly to the day the Messiah, the Lord Jesus, who is able to save to the uttermost, since he's always lives to make intercession for us. It points forward to the day where all of God's people, because of this priest king Jesus, can come to his throne of grace, where we will find help in time of need, knowing that in Christ we have the victory over all of our enemies, sin, death, the world, and the devil. And so may our reliance be upon Jesus' priestly blessing, the way Abram's was on Melchizedek's, and Jesus alone, since he is our shelter and our shield. You know, Rodney was offered the spoil. The world said, Rodney, come under our care, like the king of Sodom. You don't need this priest king those Christians are telling you about. He heard the blessing that is promised to those who have faith in Christ. He heard it explicitly, over and over again. And he said, I will go with what the world is offering. I will go with the king of Sodom. It's like a husband who has chosen one night of adulterous pleasure over his beautiful, faithful wife who's given all of herself to all of him. Let me ask you, would it have worked out for Abram to make a covenant with the king of Sodom? No, true blessing comes from Christ. And so, brothers and sisters, Abram believed that the blessings of God through his priest were greater than anything that the world has to offer. Do we believe that? He placed his hope there. He placed his faith there. Do we? He trusted God that there would be a day all things would be made right, that the knowledge of the Lord will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea, and that one day all the families of the earth will be blessed. And the Apostle Paul in Galatians says that was the gospel preached to Abraham. Well, God has preached that same gospel to us, but with fuller light, with even a greater high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, and has promised to fulfill all of his promises through this priest-king. And thanks be to God that we have a high priest after the order of Melchizedek, then, who always lives to make intercession for us. What greater blessing? What greater blessing? Let's trust in that rather than the pseudo-blessings that the world has to offer. Who can offer better promises? No one but the Lord. And so may we, with the faith of Abram, trust in God like he did. For God is our shelter while we are on this journey. He is our shield. So we see through the work of our great high priest, we have been taken out of the world, been brought into his marvelous kingdom, the church, the society of the ones who have faith like their father Abram, a kingdom of priests, a kingdom of help and support under the great high priest whose throne we have free access to find grace and help in time of need. And so you see, God has given us shelter in the Lord Jesus. Christian, God is, has been, and always will be faithful to you. So have you placed all of your trust in our covenant-keeping God? Have you found shelter in Christ, our merciful high priest? Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for your grace, that although we so often act foolishly, you still love us. And so I pray, Father, as we go forward from this place, that we would trust in you even more. As we go forward this year, may we live lives like Abram, the man of faith, and unlike Lot, who acted foolishly. Pray, Lord, give us the faith to truly trust in Jesus, in him alone, and we pray in his name, amen.